to Luke chapter 10. It's found on page 1035 in the Pew Bibles. We've been going verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke. We looked at a couple of other Old and New Testament passages since we looked at Luke 10, but now we're going to pick up on a few verses in this chapter that we have not considered yet. So we want to look at Luke 10, verse 23 and 24, and then verses 38 through 42. As we consider this morning, draw closer to the Lord in our world of distractions. Let's hear God's word. Jesus has headed towards Jerusalem. It's about a year off his death, but that's his goal, to go to Jerusalem and die. And we come to verse 20, chapter 10, verse 23. Turning to the disciples, Jesus said privately, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to see the things which you see and did not see them, and to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them." And then verse 38. And as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted by her much serving. And she came up to Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Thus far God's word, the grass withers, the flowers fade, but this, the word of our God, does stand forever. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together this morning as brothers and sisters in Christ to worship you, to sing your praise, to be encouraged by your truth, by your promises, to rest in you and to adore you. We pray now that you would send out your light and your truth and reach our hearts for our good and your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you get bombarded with ads and pop-ups and cookies and, these news blips that you never asked for? I get bombarded and I just say, why did that have to even enter into my eyesight? There's so many things to distract us, aren't there, right? Smartphones, the telephone, Facebook, Twitter, Twatter, Snapchat, video games, sports on TV. But for Martha, it was a good thing that was distracting her. She was serving Jesus, and yet it was distracting her from getting closer to Jesus. And in Jesus' word to Martha this morning, there's a word for me. There's a word for you. There's a word for all of us, so that we will draw closer to Jesus. First, you should warmly welcome Jesus. You should warmly welcome Jesus just like Martha did. Verse 38, as they're traveling along, here's Jesus headed for Jerusalem. There's a lot of people that are rejecting him. There's certain towns that won't receive him. And he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him. So she's different than a lot of people. She's welcomed him into her house. You know, Jesus had instructed his disciples that he had sent ahead of him. He said, when you go into a house and you announce peace in my name and they receive you, stay there. Eat what they set before you. Don't move to another house. Well, Jesus is taking some of his own counsel. He's been welcomed into Martha's house, and so he's taking her hospitality. He's eating the food that she has set before him. What is a godly woman? Oh, maybe first we need to ask the question, what is a woman? You know, there was a, a recent appointee to the Supreme Court that could not answer that question. She said, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not a biologist. I can't answer that question, what a woman is. Well, what's a woman? Oh, God created us male and female. And a woman is a female who's been created in the image of God for the purpose of giving God glory in her life. And what is a Christian woman? What is a godly Christian woman? She's a woman who's been changed by God and transformed by God so that she can fulfill the purpose which God gave her to bring honor to God with her life. Well, the godly woman is one who's been saved, forgiven, and transformed. And one of the goals of Dr. Luke, the Holy Spirit has guided this physician, this Dr. Luke, as he's writing this gospel, to give us many instances of godly women that are not included in Matthew or Mark or John. That's a burden on his heart that the Holy Spirit has given him, to give us examples of godly women. And so he gives us examples of these women who have been transformed by God to fulfill the purpose to bring glory to God. There's Mary, the mother of Jesus, who welcomed the news from the angel that she would be the mother of the Savior. There's Elizabeth, who was going to be the mother of John the Baptist. And when Mary, her pregnant cousin, came into her presence, she welcomed the Savior that Mary bore, and she welcomed Mary. And then there's Anna, who at the temple welcomed the news that here was the Messiah, 8-day-old baby Jesus. Here's the redemption for God's people. And then there's that immoral woman of Luke chapter 7. The immoral woman who's taking her long hair with perfume and wiping Jesus' feet. And she's kissing his feet. She's welcoming Jesus because she knew she was a great sinner. And she had repented of her sin. And Jesus had said, you're forgiven. And so she loves the Savior, and she has welcomed that Savior into her life. Forgiven much, she loves much. And that's Martha too. You know, we know from other passages in the Gospel of John that Martha's welcoming Jesus into her home is more than just a formality. She's a woman who has welcomed Jesus into her life. About a year after this particular incident, this same Martha gives one of the clearest professions of faith in Jesus of anywhere in the Gospels. She says, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the promised Messiah, God's anointed prophet, priest, and king. I believe that you are the Son of God, even the one that has been sent into the world. Wow. Oh, that your faith, oh, that my faith would ring as true and clear and as unclouded by doubts as Martha's faith. And yet, for all that is praiseworthy in Martha, you and I need to take to heart the warning that Jesus gives Martha about the danger of distractions. There's Martha's sister, Mary, and she's sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to Jesus' word. So Martha's going around serving the food, and there's Mary sitting at his feet. And Martha was drawn away. She was distracted with her much serving. And she came up to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that my sister has left me? You see, Mary had been serving along with her, right? But now Mary has left Martha, and now she's sitting down at Jesus' feet listening to Jesus teach. Don't you care that my sister has left me to do the serving all alone? Tell her, Jesus, tell her to help me.
Here's Martha. She's serving the food to Jesus, and she sees her sister sitting there when she could be helping her more. And she becomes worried and she becomes overwhelmed, and then she's feeling sorry for herself, and in her self-pity, she bursts out in anger. She explodes and questions, Jesus, do you really care? Do you care about anybody? Do you care about me? And then she tells Jesus that he's doing the wrong thing and he needs to change and do what she wants him to do. Jesus, tell her to stop sitting at your feet and tell her to get up and help me. Is this how you feel sometimes? Maybe this is how you feel all the time. You're so busy. You feel that someone else is lazy and don't really care enough about you to help you. And you feel like you're doing it all alone. And, you know, brothers and sisters, it may well be that others are being selfish and don't pull their weight like they should. But before you and I say anything to them, you and I need to ask ourselves, am I being like Martha? You need to first take to heart Jesus' word to Martha and ask, does what Jesus says here apply to me? Verse 41, there's Martha. My sister's left me. Don't you care, Jesus? You know, tell her to help me. And the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. He loves her. He says her name twice, tenderly, right? Martha, Martha. You're worried. You're distracted and bothered and upset about so many things. You're distracted and upset about so many things, Martha. You know, Jesus doesn't criticize Martha for serving, does he? He doesn't criticize her serving him. After all, he's in her house and he's eating the food she prepared, right? So he's liking that part. But Martha was distracted. She was drawn away by her much serving. He doesn't criticize her serving, but her excessive serving, which distracted her and led her away to worry and criticism. Even good things like cooking, even good things like hospitality, even a good thing like hospitality and opening your home to Jesus can keep you from being closer to Jesus. Even the good things can keep you from coming closer to Jesus if it's in excess and it distracts you and worries you and keeps you from the most important things. Even your working, even your providing for your family, even time with your grandchildren, even serving others in the church, even teaching, even writing sermons. Yeah. Even these things can draw you further away from the Lord if it's done at the expense of the one thing that is necessary. Sitting quietly, trustingly, eagerly at the feet of Jesus for fellowship with him. Why do pastors burn out? You ever heard of that? Oh, that pastor, he's burned out. Why do Christians burn out? Why does the fire of faith and love and delight in the Lord and worship of the Lord, why does it die down or burn out or go out completely? Well, a fire burns out when what happens? When does a fire burn out? A fire burns out when you take some dirt, throw it on it, right? take the dirt, put out that fire, right? Take some more dirt and throw out the fire, and pretty soon, fire's out. Well, you know, it can be really good dirt if you put on that fire. But throwing dirt on that fire still puts it out. You know, it can be the writing of sermons. You can feel like you're being a sermon machine. I just gotta write another sermon. You know, I just find that this passage has convicted me. Right? If I don't take time to open the Word of God and say, Lord, without thinking about anybody else or what they need or what this passage says to them, Lord, I want to fellowship with you. You speak to me. You teach me of yourself. You teach me of your promises. You teach me of where I need to change. I need to do that. I need to have fellowship with my Savior as he speaks to me in his word. What is it for you? What is it for you that can distract you and take you from the most important things? Is it taking the kids here and there and everywhere? Is it getting ready for Christmas and all the hustle and bustle? Is it helping a person go to the doctor? Is it, well, what is it? Even the busyness of serving can be dumping dirt on the fire. That's what it was for Martha. She was serving Jesus. And yet it was dumping dirt on the fire of her closeness with him. And so when you take good things, even busyness, and begin dumping it on the fire, what happens? Your Bible readings become a little shorter. Your prayers become shorter. You can be distracted so that it's hard to even listen to a sermon. It's hard to stop. You feel like you're on one of those hamster wheels, spinning, and you find it hard to just stop and listen to the Lord speaking to you, to your heart. Over my 47 years of ministry, I've seen the wedge that distracted excessive busyness drives between families and marriages. And what happens when there's this distracted busyness? Does it bring people closer to each other? Was it bringing Mary and Martha closer? No, it wasn't. It was driving a wedge between them. But thankfully, the Lord graciously addresses that problem. It addresses our hearts. It addressed Mary and Martha for their benefit. And God, thankfully, through Christ, ministers to us. So let's hear Jesus. Let's hear Jesus. Martha, Martha, put your own name in there. Hear Jesus say, listen to me. You're worried, you're bothered, you're drawn away, you're distracted by many things. But only one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good part, which will not be taken away from her. He's saying only one thing's necessary. Only one thing. So choose the good portion. I expect that you may have had a good taste in Thanksgiving feast like I did. You loaded your plate with what? With a good portion, right? You didn't chintz on that meal, right? Your plate was loaded with a good portion. Well, that was a good portion for your taste buds and for your stomach, right? And now the Lord is saying, now you need to choose the good portion for your body and your soul. You're more than just a body. God has made you as a body and a soul, a whole person. And he's saying you got to choose the good portion for your spirit and your soul. You know, and that's what Mary was doing. Where was she? It says she was seated at the Lord's feet. And the picture is there. She is up
close to Jesus. She is just as close as she can be. She's listening to his words. She's hanging on the words that Jesus is saying about himself and what he has come to do. And so Mary realized, as she's sitting there close to Jesus, she realized more fully the blessing of what it was to have Christ there and to be sitting at his feet. You know, that's where verses 23 and 24 come in, isn't it? Jesus said, "Blessed are the eyes which see the things you see." Mary grasped that. "For I say to you that many prophets and kings wished to hear the things which you hear and did not hear them." When you mothers amongst us were expecting your child, you longed to know, is it going to be a boy or a girl? What kind of hair are they going to have? Are they going to have any hair? How long is it going to be? How much is it going to weigh? You just long for that time when you can just embrace that baby in your own arms. Well, Jesus is saying, that's what the prophets and the kings who wrote of my coming longed for. Moses longed to know, who is that prophet going to be that's going to be like me, who's going to speak to the Lord face to face? David longed to know, who is it that's going to be my descendant, who's going to sit on the throne of the kingdom of God forever and ever, who's going to be the anointed one to whom all the peoples of the earth will look? Micah longed to know, who is this one? Who is this one who's going to be born in Bethlehem? Whose origin is from eternity, from everlasting, and yet he's going to be born in a town. Who will that one be? But for Mary, that long-expected one had come. The one that the prophets and the kings longed to know who he was, Mary was realizing that he's here. So I'm going to sit at his feet. I'm going to sit nowhere else. This is a good portion. I want to hear of him of whom the kings and the prophets foretold, and now he's here, the one who's come. Mary would have known the prophets. Mary would have heard the prophet Isaiah read in the synagogue when she went to worship. You know, there's that chapter in Isaiah chapter 3 and 4, which speaks of distracted women. She would have known that passage. In Isaiah 3, beginning of verse 18, it spoke of women who were distracted by their beauty, their anklets, their ornaments, their dangling earrings, their bracelets, their headdresses, their ankle chains, their perfume, their finger rings, their nose rings, their robes, their dresses, their coats, their purses, their mirrors. They were distracted by the outer adornment of their body. They were just all involved with that. And yet they were missing the most important thing. And Mary was aware that then in the very next chapter, the Lord said, a Savior is coming. And he's going to save women for his glory. Isaiah 4. In that day, that coming day, the branch of the Lord, that's another word for the Messiah. He's going to branch out from the root, the stump of David. He's going to be the promised king, and he will be beautiful. You want to know what beauty is? He's saying, there's real beauty. And when you realize the real beauty of Jesus, that's going to transform your view of beauty. And when the Lord has washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, oh, he's going to come and wash away the sins of his daughters. And the Lord will create over the assemblies, not just of women, of men and women, young and old. He's going to create over their assemblies a cloud by day and the brightness of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory will be a canopy
a shelter and protection from the storm. That's taking Mary's mind, our mind, back to the wilderness wanderings when the Lord led his people by a cloud and by a pillar of fire. And he was there present with his people in the wilderness. And the Lord saying, when the Messiah comes, when the branch come from David comes, when that Messiah comes, there's going to be a canopy, there's going to be a shelter, there's going to be a shelter from the storm, there's going to be cleansing from sin through his blood, and there's going to be a protection for his people. And the Mary's thinking, okay, he's come, I'm a daughter of Zion, he's cleansed me from my sin, he's washed away my sin, and he is present with me, just as he was present with the people of Israel in the wilderness, so his glory, and this Lord at whose feet I am sitting, his glory is with me, and he is present to be my shelter, my shield, my protection, my canopy, my Savior, my friend. So I'm going to sit here. I'm going to sit here at the feet of this Lord. Mary knew. She was aware that the privilege of sitting at the feet of Jesus was sitting in the presence of the glory and grace of God. Are you aware? Are you aware that closeness to Jesus is sitting in the presence of that shelter and that glory? For Jesus says in verse 42, only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. And brothers and sisters, you and I have an even fuller revelation of the glory of Jesus than Mary had. Right? We live on the other side of the cross. We live on the other side of the resurrection. We have a fuller view of the glory of Jesus, our Savior. Each time you sit down and open your Bible, each time you hear the Word of God preached, this Savior is opening his mouth to speak words of grace and truth to you. What is it that distracts you? What is it that might keep you from reading God's Word or reading God's Word as a family? Is it good things? Good activities? Jesus says one thing is necessary. What are the things that on occasion might keep you from worship on the Lord's Day? You know, the Lord said he gave us 10 commandments, right? And one of those commandments is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Remember the Lord's day and set aside the whole day to honor and worship him. And those aren't 10 suggestions, right? They're 10 commandments from the heart of God of how we can love him. One day in seven, set apart to praise him, to sit at Jesus' feet. What keeps us from that? You know, well, certainly there's health emergencies or sicknesses that keep us from it, right? But is it sometimes poor planning? Shopping? Sports? Sports on TV? TV? Is it excessive serving? Jesus says to me, to you, one thing is necessary. Fellowship with Jesus, closeness to Jesus Christ, with whom you have fellowship by sitting at his feet and learning his word, and then speaking back to him in prayer, communing with him. What a friend I have in Jesus. And Jesus says, such fellowship with me, such closeness with me will never, never be taken from you. Where was Mary's treasure? Where was her treasure, right? In Proverbs chapter 23, we read this, verses 4 and 5.
Don't weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on wealth, it's gone, for wealth certainly makes itself wings, and like an eagle, it flies toward the heavens. Is that where Mary's treasure was? On something that just can take wings and fly away from her? No. Jesus says, Mary's chosen a treasure which will never, never be taken from her. Jesus said, don't lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt, where thieves break in and steal them, but lay up treasures in heaven where the moths and the rust can never deteriorate it and where thieves can't break in and steal it. And then he says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, that's where the real you is. Where the treasure is, that's where your soul and spirit, your eternal being is. Where was Mary's treasure? It was at the feet of Jesus. It was a treasure in heaven. And Jesus said, she's chosen the good part and it will never, never be taken from her. When you are convicted of overbusyness, when you're convicted of worry and distracted agitation, and you come to your living Savior again and again, what does Jesus do? He forgives us. And he assures us that when you choose communion with me over everything, when you choose fellowship with me over everything, my brothers and sisters, he says that will never, never be taken from you. So, all that he gives in Christ, he says, you will never be stripped of your inheritance. You know, kings and queens of England, billionaires of the world, have to leave their palaces. And you and I must one day leave any money we have and any land we have behind. But as believers in Christ, we have a treasure that will last forever. And that treasure is good in sickness and in health. It's good in youth and in old age. It's good in life and in death. It's good in time and it's good in eternity. Because the Lord says that will never be taken away from you. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your servant, Dr. Luke. We thank you for his telling us of people in history that we never would have known unless he had written it down for us. We thank you for teaching us from Mary and from Martha. We thank you, Lord, for your love for them, your kindness to them, even in correction, which speaks of your kindness to us, your forgiveness of us, your love for us. Oh, Lord in heaven, may we go on our way today rejoicing, rejoicing in the blessing of where we are in the history of redemption on this side of the revealing of the glory of Jesus. Give us grace to trust you, to delight in you, and to rejoice in your promise that what you give by grace, you will never take from us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and respond to
the word by asking the Lord to continue his work in us with this prayer that he might light the fire.